Well, good morning. It is great to see everyone here this morning. The weather is just one of those things. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Just the more we think we've got it figured out, the more God proves that we are in control of nothing. Last week, Wes and I were cheerfully, gleefully excited about Highland Trek, looking at the weather forecast, and we were excited, and I was telling everybody how awesome it was going to be. It's going to be all clear, and it's nothing but sunshine, and mid-60s in the day, and 50s at night, and I go out of town, I go up to Missouri, and bring back rain and overcast. And now, for the rest of the week, it's going to be raining and overcast while we're camping. And if you've ever been camping, you know that there are few things in life that are less fun than camping in steady rain. Now, watching a football game in steady rain is very close up there. But anyway, those of you know, Hyatt and I traveled to Missouri to watch the Missouri-Nebraska game in Columbia. And it rained the entire time we drove, the entire time we were there. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he didn't know we went up there, and I was called him to ask him to borrow some stuff for the camping trip when I got back, and he said, well, where are you? I said, I'm driving back from Missouri. He said, what were you doing up there? I said, I went to the Missouri-Nebraska game. He goes, oh, man. I said, well, I owe you an apology. He said, why is that? He said, well, I was watching the game on television. Those of you don't know, it poured down rain the whole time. It wasn't sprinkling. It wasn't drizzly. It poured down rain. And Hyatt and I sat there with Big John, ponchoed all up. But anyway, he said, I owe you an apology. I said, why is that? He said, well, I watched that game on ESPN Thursday night, and I turned to my wife and said, now what kind of idiot would be out there watching that ball game right now? And he said, well, apparently I know a couple of them. I said, yeah, you do. I said, now on top of that, what kind of idiot would drive 10 hours knowing it was going to be like that? But sometimes we do stupid things just to prove we can. But we had a great time. The game did not turn out the way we wanted it to. But Hyatt, we didn't fumble. Hyatt and I threw no interceptions. Neither one of us missed a blocking assignment, so we can't be upset. And it was cold and rainy. And we said, this will be something that we'll never forget. We always talk about, Hyatt's first trip to Missouri to watch a football game. And Hyatt looked at me and he said, yeah, we'll be talking about this later. He said, hey, Dad, remember that time we were miserable? And I was like, yeah, I remember that. So anyway, this morning, we're going to talk about hearing about the news of the kingdom. Last week we talked about prayer, and we're going to talk about prayer next week. And mixed in there, we're going to talk about the kingdom. As you know, one of my favorite topics to preach about, I went through my sermons, and this year alone, I've preached three different sermons on the kingdom of heaven. And I do that because there's nothing in Scripture that Jesus talks about more than the kingdom of heaven. There's only one other thing that even comes close to the amount of teaching that he gives on the kingdom, and that is that's money and what we do with money. So he preaches about the kingdom of the world, and he talks about the kingdom of heaven. And this is a subject that I believe should be close to each one of our hearts. It should be something that we are. The Bible says, as we've sang this morning, to seek ye first his kingdom. So this morning, we're going to talk about what it looks like, what it feels like, what's all entailed in hearing the news about the kingdom. Because you see, one of the great difficulties of understanding the kingdom, and the first thing we got to realize is that the kingdom of God is so much bigger than we will ever have the opportunity to realize in this life. That the kingdom of God, and Jesus said as a beginning of his ministry, that when he's preaching and teaching throughout Galilee, and there's a bunch of crowds of people, he says, he's talking about the kingdom, and he starts to illuminate to them that the kingdom of God, and he says this over and over again, the kingdom of God is in fact at hand. The problem that they had was realizing the scope and the grasp and the width and the depth of and the size of the kingdom of God. It's so much bigger. And one of the greatest difficulties is communicating the realities of the kingdom of heaven to people of different cultures. You know, these people understood the kingdom, but anytime you and I want to talk about the kingdom of God, we're going to have a hard time explaining it to people. Because we can use certain words that mean something to us, but might not mean something to them. You know, there is anybody who studied other languages know that it's hard to communicate sometimes. And in an increasingly culturally diverse society that we live in, even people who speak the same language, sometimes it's hard to communicate. You can be saying one thing and they can be saying another. I mean, you know, when we moved back down here to Tennessee, we learned there's an entirely new, there's a whole nother language we gotta learn. You know, there's words like foreign. You know, foreign is a word that means someone not from this country. He's not domestic, he's foreign. You know, you learn words like, you know, I've written some down like thank. You know, thank is not a gratitude. Thank is I'm going to ponder something. I need to think about that for a while. You know, barred. Barred is something that you do if you need to, if somebody has something that you don't. Like, I need, you know, my brother-in-law barred my truck. You know, there, and then months is a length of time. You know, my brother-in-law barred my truck and I hadn't seen him in months. You know, all is not, doesn't mean all encompassing. It's a lubricant. You know, my brother-in-law barred my truck. I hadn't seen him in months. I hope he puts all in it. You know, far. Far in the distance, that's, you know, my brother-in-law barred my truck and better put all in it. It's going to catch far. I mean, we can say things and people, I'll give B a minute. She's going to catch up here in a second. But we, you know, the words we use, the way we talk, communicating. I mean, you can say one thing and people can hear the words you're saying, but they don't necessarily understand the message of what you're trying to get across. That's what Jesus ran into all throughout his ministry as he tried to teach about the kingdom. He taught more about the kingdom than anything else because these people had heard about the kingdom for years. I mean, they heard from the time that they were little when Jesus was teaching. You know, they had heard all about the coming of the kingdom. And it was difficult for Jesus to get across that this wasn't a military kingdom. It wasn't a kingdom about acreage. He was talking about a kingdom that is in our hearts. Isn't that what he says in Luke 17, 20 through 21? He says, the kingdom of God does not come, you know, it is not, you know, from your careful observations, because the kingdom of God is within you. You see, when they heard about the kingdom of God, they got all excited and thought that there was a military coup coming. These people had heard about when the Jewish people, when Israel was a superpower. They weren't anymore. They were a little subjugated people that really had no relevance in the big picture any longer. They remember, though, the times of David and the Davidic kingdom and all of the rule and all of the land and everything that they had, that they were sovereign over. And when they heard about kingdom, man, they got excited. And they thought that they, you know, they didn't go home and start praying. They went home and got their swords. They didn't go home and get their Bibles when Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is near. They didn't go home and get their Bibles and get ready for revival. They went home to get their weapons because they were ready for rebellion. They thought it. They thought they would rise to a superpower status again. And when Jesus said kingdom, they heard something different. They said the word kingdom, but they didn't mean what Jesus meant. And even John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, you know, when he hears about Jesus from jail, he sends messengers to say, "Are you the one? Are you the cousin?" Because the kingdom isn't looking like what we thought it was going to look like. John the Baptist, Herod's got him in jail. And when they hear the kingdom of God is coming, they're thinking that people like Herod are about to get what my mama would call their comeuppance. But that's not going to happen that way. And so he sends messengers. Are you really the Messiah? They didn't know what he meant. How do you tell people who thought the kingdom of God was about acreage and military that it's really about hearts? Jesus spoke through parables. How do you tell people that something is going to be different than the way that they imagine it to be? You tell them stories. You see, 11 times throughout the gospel, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like. And then he goes on to tell them a lot of different stories. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like someone going to shop for a pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like someone who goes and is walking through a field and finds a treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who goes into a field to sow some seed. See, I'm going to talk about something that you know about so that you can make a correlation. And they knew farming. So Jesus told parables. He told stories. You know, if you really want to know if someone's listening, tell them a story. Because, you know, they can nod along with you, but when you tell a story, it brings people into the reality, into the word picture that you're trying to paint. So Jesus tells all these stories. And the very first one that he tells is, in my opinion, my estimation, one of the most important ones, because you can't really wrap your mind around, you can't really grasp, you can't really understand anything about the kingdom of God until you understand how the kingdom of God is like a man who goes into a field to sow some seed. See, if you want to hear the good news about the kingdom of God, Jesus starts out by saying, if you want to understand the kingdom, you've got to understand how the kingdom is like a man who goes into a field to sow some seed. And so in Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 1, we're going to read, and this is a lengthy reading, so bear with me, and we'll pick up some speed here after we get through this. But the first thing you need to know is how the kingdom of heaven is like a man who's going to plant some seed. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and they ate it up. And some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil and it sprang up quickly because the sun came up and the plants were sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. And other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. Still other seed fell in the good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he who has an abundance, and so he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. You will be people, for this people's heart has become calloused and hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you have seen, but do not see it, and to hear what you hear, but do not hear it. Listen then what this parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places, the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since he has no root, it lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on the good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160, 30 times what was sown. You see, you can hear sermons all day long. You can hear points and you can hear the facts about the kingdom, but you can't understand it until you understand. You can't grasp the kingdom until you know why the kingdom is like a man who goes out and sows seed. And the first thing that Jesus is trying to get across to these people, the first thing that Jesus wants us to understand about the kingdom, and the first real paradigm shift that has to take place not only in their life but also in ours, and where the mystery of the kingdom starts to be unraveled, is that the kingdom comes through a word and not a sword. You see, the kingdom comes through the word. The kingdom comes through the seed that is powerful, the seed that is explosive, the seed that has all of the makings of life that is hidden, mysteriously compacted inside of it. Comes through the word and not a sword. The seed is a powerful thing. James 1 and 18, it talks about the life-giving nature of the seed. This isn't a kingdom that armies or miracles is going to make happen. This isn't a kingdom that's going to be that's going to be thrust upon people. It's a kingdom that grows within us, where that seed brings life. Regenerative and explosive in 1 Peter 1 and 23. He talks about the seed that helps us, that causes us to be born again, that causes us to be remade in His likeness. It says that seed that is the Word of God. And so the people would say, the disciples would go back to Jesus after He talks about the kingdom. After He says the kingdom of God is here, the kingdom of God is coming, the kingdom of God is next to you. And no doubt they would say, Jesus, is that all you're going to do is preach? Is that all you're going to do is talk? Because when I think about the kingdom, I think about, why aren't you amassing an army? Why aren't you gathering troops? Why aren't we coming up with our game plan for taking over this place? That's the mystery. The reign of God is breaking into history, and the mystery of the kingdom is that people have the freedom to choose whether or not they will allow that kingdom to reign over them. And people don't understand that. The people of Jesus' day, the people He's teaching, they don't understand the mystery is that the reign of God gives people the choice. No doubt the prophecy will be fulfilled that one day when the kingdom is consummated, when the kingdom comes in its fullness, no doubt every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. But right now, God has left it up to the choice of men and women. That's what people cannot understand. They couldn't understand that not only the kingdom comes through a word, not a sword, but the kingdom comes to only those who have good hearing. 13 times in the story, the word hear is found. Hear or hearing. When He closed the parable, when he finished telling the story, He said, "He who has ears, let him hear." And when he started the explanation, He said, "Blessed are your eyes because you see, and your ears because you hear." The kingdom of God only comes to those who have good hearing. That's why He taught in parables. It's not a matter of intellect. The idea that Jesus is talking about the kingdom in story, the idea that He's talking about the kingdom in the terms of it is a seed that will grow, it's not a matter of intellect. The kingdom of God is a matter of our will. It isn't a matter of something that we can come to know and grasp the facts. It's a matter of something that we come to submit to. You see, that's why Jesus goes on to say, there's not a problem with the sower. The sower goes out and he does his job. There's not a problem with the seed. The seed is powerful. The seed has everything that it needs to grow in the hearts of men. The problem is with the soil. So He spends all of His time talking about the different conditions of soil. See, understanding the kingdom is a matter of understanding God's sovereignty. But how can you explain the kingdom of God to people who have no intention of being ruled? I'm just going to say that. Just come back to me just for a second. I know it's... we're all tired. This is the time of year, man, where just school's going on and a lot of stuff's happening and the weather's changing and da, 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 and there's a lot of distractions. But just listen to me for once. If you hear nothing else, hear this. How do you explain the kingdom of God to a group of people who honestly have no intention whatsoever of being ruled? How are we supposed to grasp? How are we supposed to extend the kingdom of God if we have no intentions of being ruled? It's one thing to be religious people, but it's another thing to be ruled people. The crowd looked like they were ready for the kingdom. But Jesus knew better. Jesus knew that all of the head bobbing and amening and all the yes, you tell them, Jesus, He knew all of that wasn't really where they were. He understood that they were always hearing but never perceiving. They were always seeing but they never really were grasping it because they had no intention of being ruled. That's why He goes right into it and He said, some people listen with closed ears. You see, when you're talking about the kingdom, and we all say, oh, I want the kingdom of God. Boy, I want to be in there. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But he knows that they're listening with closed ears. Isn't that what he says in Hebrews 3 and 13 when he says, encourage one another as long as it is today that your hearts will not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You see, because back in those days, when he tells this story, they, you know, in farmlands, and they were an agrarian culture, and they understood farming. And they understood that in those days, you didn't really have fences that blocked off the different different fields. They had rights of way. They had paths. People, you walked through, you know, you walked along a path. You walked along an edge of the field. You know, this public right of way. And what would happen is that over time, that part of the field would get packed down and compacted and hardened, impenetrable, hardened by all of the circumstances of life. So what happens when you go out in the field? Some of that seed falls on that path. And even though the seed is powerful, even though the seed has got explosive, regenerative power within it, I mean, the path is so hard it has no opportunity to penetrate. You see, those people, they would rather have their sin than a sovereign. You see, they would rather have the life that they have carved out for themselves and all of the sin of the flesh and all of the circumstances of life. They would rather have their sin than be ruled by a sovereign. See, some people are going to hear sermons. They're going to hear about the kingdom. And they're going to shake their fist and say amen, but they're going to get up and they're going to go home. And they're going to keep that sin close to them. And I'm not talking about the times that we mess up. I mean, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And each person in this room is guilty of sinning against God. And I'm not talking about the times where we mess up and just do something out of the weakness of our flesh. I'm talking about the sin that we all know about, that we plan towards, that we're addicted to, that masters us, that we just will not give to God. And hardens our hearts. We have no intentions of giving it up. And some listen with cautious ears. You know, some have their ears just closed. They're hard like the path. They're hardened by sin. But some are cautious. And he calls this the rocky soil. And he's not talking about taking seed and throwing it into a pile of rocks. He's talking about, that some places in Palestine, like like around here, they've got these limestone ledges. And there's just real shallow soil on that rock, and what happens is when the sun beats down on it, it heats up that rock underneath, and that heats up the soil. So when you throw seed on it, boy, it springs up fast right there, and it looks like, man, that is the best place in the whole field to grow grass. But Jesus knew better, because you see, there was no root, there was no sustaining power. Oh, it's not easy to be a Christian. But it sure is easy to start. It sure is easy to hear a message. And sometimes preachers, like a lot like myself, we're a little bit irresponsible with the Word of God. And so we play on people's emotions and we talk about, you know, come to Jesus and don't you want this? And man, everything's going to be so much better and God really wants to save you. And all of those things are true, but we forget to tell people to count the costs and to evaluate their circumstances and to really understand, do you want to be reigned? Because you see, feelings don't last. Only convictions do. So he said, some people are cautious. Some people hear, they feel good at first, but they say that's great. But they never hear the part about denying yourself, picking up your cross, following Jesus. Because you see, that even that to a degree, okay, I can do that, deny myself, pick up the cross and follow. You know where Jesus is going? He's not only carrying that cross, but he's headed to a place where they're going to put that cross in the ground. They're going to nail him to it. See, it's easy to start, but sustaining that. So some people just have cautious ears. They'll let their feelings rule them. Some people have closed ears, and some people listen with crowded ears. That's the seed thrown among the thorns. And not talking about taking seed and throwing it into a thorn bush. Talking about taking seed and pitching it into just a big old stand of weeds. He's talking about people that that have natural things that are natural to this. I mean, weeds are natural to this world. I mean, I don't have Earl to pick on, so I'll pick on Al. He's the only other, any other farmers besides Al here today? But probably a lot of people grew up. I mean, Al, you till up a bunch of land. I mean, just till it up. And don't do anything to it. I mean, don't plant anything. You come back in a month, what are you going to have? You just going to have tilled land. Nothing's going to grow there? Yeah, weeds seem to grow just anywhere. I mean, there are weed seed everywhere. You just till up land and you let it sit there and you don't do anything to it. You come back in a month or 2 months, before long, you're not going to have, corn's not just going to pop up. Okra's not just going to, woo, look, here it comes. Good stuff isn't just going to volunteer itself. You might have a sprig here and there, but mostly what you're going to get is weeds. It's natural to the world. It's natural to the brokenness of our existence. You see, these are people that have too much noise in their lives. They hear the word about the kingdom and they want that, and then and it grows up with all of the natural things in their life, and natural things can be good things, but when push comes to shove, there's just too much of that. Some people hear the kingdom and they just don't get it. It only comes with good hearing. Have too much noise. And then there's others, some seed. Some will listen with committed ears. You see, there's the closed ears and there's cautious ears and there's crowded ears, and now there's committed ears. You see, God says that there are some people who are hungry for God. They hunger and they thirst for righteousness. You see, there's some people out there that are so tired of ruling their own life. They're so tired of being in control. They're so tired of having to have all the answers and to all the questions. And they're hungry for God. They're ready for someone else to come in and be a sovereign over their life. And when the seed hits hearts like that, Jesus says, watch out. Because the seed is powerful. And when it's given an opportunity, it grows more than what was sown. Not only does it reproduce itself, but it comes a crop 60, 100, 30 times. Watch out when seed hits a heart like that, because it's explosive. The question then becomes, do we want to be soil like that? Do we want to have hearts like that? Because there comes a time when we say, okay, what do we do? What can we do in order to bring about the kingdom of God, not only in our life, but in the lives of others? What can we do to further the kingdom of Jesus? And the one thing that we can do is we must be obedient. We have to sow everywhere. Even the hard places. Give the seed a chance to do what it can do. And then we be patient. Not only are we obedient to sow, even in the places where it's hard, even in the neighborhoods where it doesn't seem like there's going to be any work. You know, because how many of you have seen a tree growing just straight out of a rock or out of a sidewalk where it seems like nothing could grow there? But be obedient and be patient, because you don't sow and harvest all in the same day. You sow and then you wait. And then you do what other farmers do, what farmers all across the country and for generations do, you pray. And you know that there's so much more that's out of my control. You know, because the farmer knew, and Jesus even said this in a parable later on. He said, you know, the kingdom of God is like a guy who plants a field and then he goes to sleep. And whether he sleeps or whether he's awake, it rains and the sun shines and the plants grow, and he has no idea how it happens. See, all we can do is sow and wait and pray. Don't give up on the seed. Don't give up on the power of the seed. Water that seed with prayer. See, I believe that Jesus is telling us this parable on two levels. One is a level of indictment, saying, make sure that you're hearing about the king. Make sure that your ears, that your heart is prepared to hear about the kingdom. Not only, don't be so involved with your agenda and what you think the kingdom ought to look like and how it ought to come into the world, but indictment to be in tune to God's agenda, and also he's trying to encourage us. How come there's so much darkness in the world, Jesus, if the kingdom is here? If the kingdom is come, why does it look a whole lot like the old kingdom? He says, don't be discouraged. The seed is incredible, and the harvest is inevitable. I'll close with an illustration that I heard a preacher from North Carolina talking about. He grew up in New York City. And he was a big fan. He was a big, huge baseball fan. And he loved the Brooklyn Dodgers. And the first baseball game his dad ever took him to was Brooklyn Dodgers against the New York Yankees in Yankee Stadium. It was a World Series game. Now talk about getting to go to your very first game, and it's a World Series game. And he watched, and he was so into the Brooklyn Dodgers, and he just wanted them to win. He was sure that they were going to, and he was so disappointed when not only did the Dodgers lose, but not one single Dodger player made it on base. I mean, he was heartbroken. His Dodgers lost, and they let him down, and nobody even made it to the base. Nobody got out of the batter's box. Later on, he was lamenting to his friend in life as he was an adult, and he was talking about that game and how disappointed he was. And he said, you know, I went to that game and I watched the whole thing, and not one Dodger made it on base. And his friend said, you were there? You were there? You were there the night that Don Larsen pitched the only perfect game in World Series history, and you were there? Oh, he was there, but he didn't see it because he was so wrapped up in his own agenda. He was so wrapped up in what he was there to see that he missed baseball history. And he lived the rest of his life without the joy of knowing what he was a part of. See, if we want to be kingdom citizens, we have to be good hearers. We have to be good soil to hear the Word of God and know that it's not going to come the way that we think it's going to. But it is. It is. So don't get caught up in our kingdom, but get caught up in God's kingdom. And we need to look, and we need to listen, and we need to see the kingdom of God that is at hand, that is at work, and that is getting ready to explode into history. And we can be a part of it if we will understand how the kingdom of God is like a man who goes into a field, sows some seed. This morning, we're gonna stand and we're going to sing a song. And my challenge to us is to think about how is the kingdom of God like a man sowing seed in your heart? Are our hearts closed? Are they cautious? Are they crowded? Are they committed? You want to be a part of the kingdom. I mean, not just a fist shaking, head nodding, yeah, I want to be a part of that. But you want to be a part of a reigned, sovereign kingdom where life is the order of the day. You can have that. But only in Christ. And only if you're willing to let the seed, the powerful Word of God, into your heart by choice, as together we stand and as we sing.